Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
A Georgia man came afoul of deputies when they said he got high on mushrooms, put on a chicken suit, and became disorderly. Sheriff Howard Sill said that on November 19th, a woman called to report that her ex-boyfriend had basically gone nuts on mushrooms and was beating on passing by cars and screaming and hollering at them. So officers respond to the neighborhood where they find 47-year-old Jason Pinch walking through the neighborhood, pounding vehicles with his fists. He was wearing what officers described as a yellow onesie-style pajama outfit meant to resemble a chicken. Pinch continued to beat on passing cars and even the patrol car. Officers called an ambulance and tried to arrest Pinch. Well, according to the officer, Pinch repeatedly asked deputies if they were real and if he, too, was real. After he was taken into custody, he continued to ask officers, "Are you real?" And if he was at that time just laying on the hammock in his home. Officers were able to stun him with a taser. He was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct and misdemeanor obstruction of a peace officer. He has since been released on bond.
Did you read the cop's quote at the very end?
Why the chicken suit? Unfortunately, that would have been the question that I asked.
Why am I wearing a chicken suit?
Question, what in the hell happened to your car? 206-803-ROCK.
Does that make it better somehow? I feel like, you know, I'm driving down the road, whatever, I'm stopped at a light. Some guy comes out and beats on the hood of my car. I'm pissed off. Same scenario, the guy's wearing a chicken suit. Well, it's not that I'm okay with it, but somehow I feel like I'm slightly less angry.
It explains his mental state.
That's what I mean.
So
right?
If someone's just randomly beating on your car, you're like, who is this guy? Why is he mad at me? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, do I know this man? Is he my neighbor? Is he just some idiot walking down the street? But a guy in a chicken suit, you go, oh, look at this white job.
I understand what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy's wow.
Right. What in the hell happened to your car, 206-803-ROCK?
Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola,
doing great.
I had a 70 Mustang that I was taking to a car show, and I got a steering wheel for it, and when they hooked it up, backwards, and so every time I turned the wheel, the horn would honk, and when I finally stopped, the steering wheel was on fire. So the only way to put it out was by throwing a cup of coffee on it.
Your steering wheel was on fire?
Yes, it caught fire from the wires being crossed.
I'm going to assume that the mechanic repairs all this on the house.
Absolutely, he was my dad.
Oh, man. Come on, dude. And you're taking this to a car show?
Yes, I was taking it to a car show. I was up all night detailing it. It was beautiful, and had coffee dumped all over the interior to get the fire out.
Now, is that car completely cherry? The interior, the exterior, the whole thing, the engine?
Oh, it was beautiful, yes. It was a rusty red.
I'll be damned.
And now, did you make it to the car show?
Yes, I did.
And I did. People have questions about the steering wheel.
I ended up getting the factory one and putting it back on.
Okay. Did you end up, I was going to say, is it original? Is it a cherry? Or do you have like a Blaupon stereo in there or something? Or did you keep it?
They considered it not stock. But it only had a 302 in it. It wasn't, I'd like to have one with the Cobra Jet in it, but you know.
What happened to the car? Because you keep saying it was. So what happened to the 70 Mustang?
I sold it. I sold it. I had kids and decided it was time to sell it, and I wish I still had it.
See? That's the thing, man. Keep the car in the garage. The kids will get older.
Right?
Keep that stuff.
What do you drive now?
Right now, I have a 2015 Challenger.
Okay.
So you like a little power under your butt is what I'm getting out of you.
Absolutely.
Now,
horsepower, please.
How would the kids describe your driving?
They say I'm a little aggressive.
I like you.
So you're very aggressive.
I like you.
Yeah, it doesn't shock me.
I appreciate that.
Don't worry. My kids say the same thing about my wife. They're just like, dude, you should. My kids, every cuss word they know, they've learned from my wife while she is driving.
Yeah,
because I make it a point, right? I make it a point, and I cuss my face off. But at home, around the kids, I just don't cuss. Because to me, that's your trump card when you need to let them know you're really mad. You know what I mean?
So yes, yeah.
I just don't do it. And that way, you don't have to yell. You can keep the same tone of voice, and you drop one cuss word in there, whatever it might be, and you see the change in their face. They understand, okay, he's deadly serious about this, and things get done. My wife cusses so much in the car. I mean, it's like, baby, it doesn't matter anymore. You know what I mean? And they know, like, do not cuss around me. That's what I tell the kids. I know you know words. I don't care what you say with your friends. Doesn't matter. If I'm around, don't cuss. And they play, like, their dumbass video games. And when they're playing the video games, you know, they're FaceTiming and they're talking to each other on headsets. And anytime I walk into my son's room, he will announce to all of his friends, Dad's here! And I'll... Hey, Mr. Steve. And it's like, I know you guys were saying, I can hear you in the living room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now that you know I'm present, I appreciate that you drop it. But man, I will get home and my son, he'll ask my permission, like, Dad, Mom picked us up from school today. Yeah. And we got stuck behind a school bus and this kid was having a hard time getting off. I go, okay. Can I tell you what Mom said? I'm like, once. And I mean, when he's done, I'm like, oh my God, man.
Like, plus, you let him play golf with Miles, so I know he's heard a lot of.
Ooh, that was a fun day.
And this is so.
Oh, come on.
My kid gets home from golf.
Come on.
I said,
it was a wonderful day.
How was golf with Mr. Miles? He goes, oh, it was fun. Mr. Miles cusses a lot.
On the golf course, yes.
Yeah.
Miles, you cuss in general.
Right.
Yes. If you're happy, if you like something, the amount of
effort. If you're awake.
Yes. Yeah, especially if you cook something that you think you've done a good job with, which, again, you're a very good cook, but you will come in here and it's at least 10 F-bombs to describe how good it was.
There's a reason you don't write, like, restaurant descriptions. No. This effing burger is so effing good.
I don't get on
It'll
Yelp.
It'll melt in your effing mouth, you effing son of a
Go see his mother.
Nailed it.
Tell Miles sent you.
We can't call it the mother effer burger, Miles. We're going to dial it back. Say the big barbecue burger. How about that?
If you ever open a bar, that's what you should do.
Mother effers?
Yeah. Mother, or just like have the MF'ing burger.
Right. With MF'ing fries.
Good effing fries.
The FU stew. Whatever.
Bitch ass boneless chicken wings.
Or the FU blue burger.
And every server lays the plate down. Look at this MF'er right here.
Exactly. Right? And they're like pumped.
And who are the double MF'er?
Right? We got a bucket effing beers.
Everything just says MF'er in the middle.
Right. Everything on your menu has an F-bomb.
Who wants an effing shot? Yeah. Sponsored by effing vodka. Uh-huh.
Tonight's special is the sea sucking burger. We've kicked it up a notch.
Right. Can I bring my kids?
Your lips.
That's your effing choice.
You can.
I mean, right? Like, we don't mind. You're welcome here until 9.
Even the kids' menu, like, mother effing apple slices.
There's pictures on the menu with a caption saying, look at that S.
Yeah.
Do you want some secret goose sauce? What in the hell happened to your car? 206-803-RUN.
Connect with the guys. Find the men's room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the men's room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Live from the Pump House.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Karen
How you
Daly.
Doing?
How's the Pump House?
The Pump House is toasty, man. We got baseboard heat in here.
Ah, good
and
move.
Considering the ground outside has not thawed at my house in about 2 weeks, it's quite pleasant in here.
The Pump House also doubles as a cell phone storage hut.
Ah,
yep, Brad lost his phone for half a day in here the other day. It also has a beer fridge and a wine rack. So there's everything you could possibly need in here.
You are correct. You've just listed everything we could possibly need.
I mean, you throw in a crock pot, you never have to leave.
Oh, Ted, that's a good upgrade.
Bottle of liquor, keep you warm, the whole deal.
You mentioned the frozen ground, and I've noticed this week, and it's been very sunny, but very cold outside, and truly and literally when I take the dog out, I'm picking up a steaming pile of ass. And it just makes it worse. I'm like, God, that looks so much worse than just a regular turd.
That's right. Blech. Yeah.
I just like the idea of the pump house if you're married. Because you're just like, you know what? I've had enough of you. I'm going to the pump house.
That's right. I would act like I'm mad all the time.
5 minutes in the pump house. I'll be back. It's going to cool off a little bit, you know?
Sometimes that's all you need is 5 minutes.
That's exactly right. How was the Thanksgiving with family?
Thanksgiving was great, minus whatever that was that the Seahawks were attempting to do on Thursday.
God, that
the
sucks.
Apple Cup was obviously a great game, and that's honestly all you can ask for when you're a Coug. And I was very impressed with the final score, even though we didn't come out the victors.
That was a great game, though, man. You're right.
Did you eat enough food?
For sure. Oh, yeah, it was awesome. I just threw out the last of the Thanksgiving leftovers this morning because they were a little beyond, usage at this point. But I enjoyed leftovers for several days in a row.
What was the star of the show? There's always one star of the show. Like, the turkey came out great. The mashed potatoes were creamy. What was the one thing there? I was like, man, that's good.
Man, so we have this family recipe for, like, homemade crescent rolls, and I have an aunt that used to make it for years and years, and then that kind of stopped happening, and then another aunt stepped up and made them this year, and it was that just tasty nostalgia that you need sometimes. It was like chicken soup for the soul, baby.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see here. Today, I guess they did a little discussion on Reddit about, everybody has a favorite band, and a lot of people have bands that they absolutely cannot stand. But there's also something right there in between where you're like, well, I don't mind it. It's not that bad. It's just not that great, I guess is the right way to put it.
I feel like that's how I feel about Taylor Swift, right? She's all the rage, massive icon. I don't really know her songs, but every once in a while, my kids or my wife will say, this is her. And I'm like, it's not good. It's not bad. It's just, it's nothing. Right. I don't know why she's so big.
Exactly. But today we have a list of bands and musical acts that they say are not really that good. Not really bad, just boring. Now,
isn't that even worse?
Taryn, would you put U2 in that category for you?
I absolutely would. And they actually make it into the top 15 on this list, but they did not crack into the top 10. And again, I just really don't like U2, but at the end of the day, they're just kind of blah, you know? Well, it's not my thing in the first place. I'm not denying that they're a very popular band, but they're just kind of blah for me.
Well, look, this is not a popular opinion. I know I'm going to catch hell for it, but it's not that they're not good, and it's not that they're not bad, but Pink Floyd just bores the hell out of me at times. So it's not that I don't appreciate what they do.
Right, they're not exciting.
I don't think they're a bad band by any stretch of the imagination. And they do have good songs. It's just 85% of the time.
Right.
They just seem to be boring to me. And I know people would be like, oh, my God, that's sacrilegious. I don't care. It's just, I have all.
I think that's fair. It's fair.
I have 5 Pink Floyd albums at home. Trust me. It's not that I'm not a fan. I'm just sometimes I'm like, eh. I listen to the album. I'm like, yeah.
I think that even if you love Pink Floyd, I don't think you did them a disservice by saying that. I think that's pretty. To a degree, like, when you've heard 2 of their songs, you've kind of heard them all.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's
exactly.
Like, there's no variation. Right. You're like, all right, here it is.
So today on Sit and Spin, we have 10 musical acts that are not good. They're not bad. They are just boring.
10, number 10. Good, it was not your fault, but mine.
Oh.
And it was your
fault. Oh, attack.
Ted is brokenhearted. Mumford and Sons, I'm dying because someone called them Imagine Wagons, and I can't unhear that now, and it's spot on. Imagine Wagons.
Man, I saw Mumford by myself. I thought it was an awesome show.
I hate music that sounds like this. I have to admit it. I do.
How do you describe this, though?
Like Irish jug music?
I was going to say, it's kind of like Irish-y jug stuff.
And to me, every song by Mumford & Sons kind of has the same beats per minute, you know what I mean? Like, there's not, I don't really hear it, like, change a lot.
I feel like it's like Shepherd's Pie or something. I can't really.
Shepherd's Pie is delicious.
It's okay, but it's not as good as a pie.
To me, they're like the Irish Dave Matthews. Okay. Like, Dave Matthews could sing this, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take that. His voice would crack a little more.
10 musical acts that are not good, not bad. They are just boring, and this list will piss people off.
Number 9.
Of Imagine Dragons, and the quote from the internet said, the kind of band major corporations would hire for team bonding events.
Absolutely.
Edgy enough to be cool, but safe enough to not upset anyone. All that said, gentlemen, there is nothing about the lead singer with his shirt off that is boring to me, and I would go to that concert with noise-canceling headphones, and I would watch him all night long.
That's good to know. And I actually don't mind Imagine Dragons, but that's a very good description of what they are. They write really great soundtrack music.
Yeah. Thank you, AT&T. But I think that's their point, is nobody minds them.
Yes.
Just no one's enthusiastic.
Yes. 10 musical acts that are not good or bad, just boring.
Eight, number eight.
Oh, it's just Taylor Swift. Yeah, I mean, I don't know her music, but every time I hear it, I'm like, okay, look, it's nothing against her. We're all sick of hearing about her, so it's not that. But, like, I don't understand what she has done that people are so crazy about. I'm like, this? Because, kind of like they're saying with Imagine Dragons, I would hire her from our corporate team-building retreat. Put it this way, if you can listen to it in front of your parents when they're a kid and your parents don't mind it, you ain't listening to anything.
I don't know how many corporations can afford her, though.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
And here's the thing. I'm thrilled to kind of echo your sentiments about Taylor Swift. I don't have any issues with her. I will always be, you know, a supporter of Taylor Swift. However, when people say, well, you know, she writes all her own material, I'm like, yeah, that's evident.
That's not a brag point. Oh, like, that's not a brag point.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe she should hire a songwriter. I'm just saying. I'm just saying maybe she should.
Some people just say you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And there's a famous quote from Angus Young where a reporter goes, some people say that, you know, you guys have done 10 albums and every one of those albums sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
And he said, that is not true. We've done 11 albums.
Exactly.
These are 10 musical acts that are not good, not bad, just boring.
Number 7.
Yeah, Coldplay. I mean, again, another corporate event.
It is. I mean, look, I get it. Coldplay's not like get you pumped up, but I do enjoy their music.
They're not bad. God, they are kind of boring.
I mean, they're not bad. Okay. They're actually pretty good. They have a very unique sound. They're just boring.
This is the question to ask yourself to really feel how you feel about a band. Somebody says, hey, man, Coldplay's coming into town. Do you want to buy tickets? Mm-hmm. No. Coldplay's coming into town. I got an extra ticket. Do you want to go? Sure. I would not spend money to go see you, but I will go see you for free.
Taryn, I had this weird thing with my head. I don't know what it was, but they were going to give me an MRI and check out my brain, right, to make sure that I was not crazy. So I go in for an MRI, and they say, what kind of music do you like? MRI takes a long time. They said, you like rock? I said, yeah, put on rock. They played the entire Coldplay album. When I got out of that MRI, I wanted to kill somebody. I was so angry and mad. Just from the format, I said, this is not rock. This sucks.
And if they were scanning your brain, they would probably notice, like, oh, something is wrong with this
guy. He hates this music. 10 music acts that are not good, not bad, just boring.
Number six.
Foo Fighters.
Come at me, bro. Don't you dare talk trash on my Foo Fighters.
What are they saying about the Foo Fighters?
I mean, they're very good, but I kind of agree. There hasn't been a song that's truly knocked my socks off. Like, I will not diss Dave Grohl at all. I will not diss Foo Fighters at all. They are a fine band. They deserve the success that they've had. But it's just, there's never one that I'm just, this is the song.
I think it's tougher with rock, too, because they're good. I like them. But there's nothing risky. There's nothing. It doesn't feel dangerous. You know what I mean? Like with rock music, man, you want to be rebellious. You want that thing, or your parents are like, I hate it. This is not it.
And the quote from the internet said, I love Dave Grohl, but all their new stuff sounds the same.
Okay.
That's kind of fair, but I do love Foo Fighters. Awesome show.
I like their sound. Yes. 10 musical acts that are not good, not bad. They say just boring.
Number 5.
I know when that hotline blink.
Bobby, the guy
that hates this list.
The guy, right. I mean, like, basically, we can call this list like bands that make money and hits.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so the quote about Drake is he's pretty bland. That being said, I looked up that in 2021, he became the second act to occupy the entire Hot 100's top 5 in a single week. The other act was the Beatles in 1964.
Damn. So he's probably happy he's bland then.
And some of his older stuff is a lot more aggressive.
Sure, the older you get, the more you tend to cool up. But look, bland works, man, because like Ted just said, this is how to make hits.
Yeah. These are 10 musical acts that are not good, not bad, just boring.
Number 4.
Now this I agree with.
Now see, I would not say they're boring. I mean, as far as
musically, they're boring,
but as far as their presence in a stage show, I don't think they're boring.
But I mean, like, music alone, you can't argue. Heaven's on Fire, Lick It Up, come on.
Put the X in sex.
Yeah. I mean.
And the person online said their live presence was silly. I just don't get it.
Oh, it's very silly.
Right. All right. That's what to get. Don't take it seriously.
If you think it's silly, you got it.
Right. You're in on it.
Right.
These are 10 musical acts. They're not good, not bad, just boring.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Let's talk. She said goodbye.
on this one, Maroon 5. Yep. And it said they've been chasing every single trend possible since 2017.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you could look at what's his name body and see all the bad tattoos.
I know. Right. Got this one in 2008. Yeah, updated. Right.
He's got a tramp stamp and a curse of Satan on his ribs.
10 musical acts that are not good, not bad, just boring.
Number two. So honey, now.
Tara, no. We're not going to do this to Ed Sheeran.
Oh,
listen to the soul in that man's voice.
Thank you.
Here's the thing, Ted. He did an appearance on Sesame Street, and when my four-year-old was into Sesame Street a couple of years ago, even he was like, can we turn this off? It's boring. Oh,
damn.
Sure, look, I've seen a seven-year-old say Coldplay makes me sleepy. I mean, these bands happen, but Ed Sheeran to me is a very talented individual.
Exciting.
Right.
Now. Boring.
Just because there's a time and place for his music does not mean that he's boring.
It's not that he's not bad. He's good.
I know.
Just boring.
He's boring.
That's the list.
This is just the music that you play in the movie theater when people are loading up before the movie starts.
Right. You can hear this in the grocery store.
None of these people care they're on this list. They're all filthy rich.
Right.
These are 10 musical acts that are not good, not bad, just boring. We made it to number one.
Okay, Michael.
That's enough.
We just killed this one. Killed Mike and Ted with this
number one on the list.
Five Finger
well,
Death.
Look, I'll give you their
overrated. On the internet, they are called the Nickelback of metal. Now, if only they could sell albums as Nickelback does, that would be really great.
Wow.
I mean, it's not exactly wrong, but number one.
Hey, number one,
it's
Mike.
Harsh.
You don't see Rush on this list because nobody cares enough.
Tara Daly,
Ted,
thank you so much.
Up.
We will see you coming up here at 6 o'clock. Also, the shot of the day is on the way. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Our question, looking back, I never should have bumped uglies with blank. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Daryl. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hola.
Yeah, back in the 80s, I was in the military, and I met this girl that had a funny smell to her vagina.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was really embarrassed because I went back three times.
Was this here in the United States of America?
Well, no, but we both met in Denver, Colorado.
All right. Okay.
Had a funny smell, but you went back anyway.
Yeah, it was horrendous. You know, if the sheets would go up in the middle of the night, the smell would wake me up.
Okay.
Why did you keep having sex with this person, man?
I guess I was just lonely. There's no other excuse.
All right.
I mean, look, I'm a dude, so I do get it on some level, but I'm saying if it's that bad that if the sheets were off, it wakes you up.
Did she give you any type of infection?
No, not that I know of, but after your description, Miles, I might have to go get myself checked out.
It might be a good idea.
Well, how long ago was this?
Oh, it was in the early 80s.
Well, yes, you know, more than likely, how old are you right now?
62.
At your age, more than likely you have HPV. Most people do. It's pretty prevalent in people in that age range because there was no vaccine at the time,
right?
So you couldn't get a shot for it. So a number of people have that. I know that I have that. I've been tested. So
you've been tested.
I already know. I've got it. But a lot of people do have it.
So what do you do if you've got it, or do you just have it if you've got it?
You just have it, and you can give it to
them. Transmit it, right?
You can transmit it, but I have never had an outbreak in years, so I don't. I'm not really.
What is
sure.
the HPV outbreak? Like, how would you know?
Well, sometimes it's herpes. There's a lot of different things.
So it'll basically send other things into...
Correct. I believe that is also true for herpes of the mouth. So if you have cold sores and all that...
It's funny. If it's on your mouth, we call it a cold sore. If it's not, we call it herpes.
More than
likely,
correct.
Right?
More than likely it's
But your
HPV.
Cold sore is, in fact, herpes.
Yeah.
Or a herpes virus, right. Anyway.
A new study out of Toronto, Canada, suggests that men and women have very different feelings of regret after having sex. While men wish they were better at picking up women or taking them to bed, women say they regret who they lost their virginity to or moving too fast sexually with, according to the results of a study.
I feel like I hear that a lot from women. You know, look, and I get it. I understand because there's the stressors, typically the age involved and all that. I would say 99% of the women I've ever met, they go like, oh, if I had to lose my virginity again, it would not have been to blank. Where well, sure. every guy I've talked to, they're like, her name was Tina Fowler. Like, they don't. You know what I mean? It's like, for guys, it's like, man, we just want to break that seal. You know what I mean? We want to start sure. the race. You know?
And it's very rarely going to be the best sex that you've ever had. Because
well, at the time, it will be, because it's the only sex you've ever had. So it will, in fact, be the best sex mm-hmm. you've ever had. And yeah, but most guys I've talked to, with the exception of maybe two in my life, they're like, look, man, she wasn't cute. She wasn't pretty. Maybe she was. We don't care. You're like, but right. I had sex. It is such a celebration.
Now, the researchers say their findings, published in the Journal of Archives of Sexual Behavior, align with evolution, reproduction, and the repercussions that could follow sex. So 24,000 people were involved in the study, asked about their sexual regrets in a series of studies. Now, respondents were asked to look at hypothetical situations.
Okay. All right.
Then they looked at a list of common regrets and had to tick off which applied to them. Straight, gay, lesbian, bisexual respondents all took part in the study. So here were the three most common regrets for men. Anybody?
For men.
For men. Any guesses on the three most common regrets?
Regrets when it comes to sex?
Just any kind of making a move, anything.
Probably not being more experimental in bed would be my guess. Like, I really wish I tried. Because, again, and just guys I talk to, you might not like someone you've had sex with or something like that, but if you're talking a common regret universal to guys, I would assume that. That's the only thing I can think of.
I'm going to say it's who you had sex with.
Really?
Right. Because guys, like you said, you're trying to break the seal.
Yeah.
So
you're just trying to get there, man.
Exactly.
So here are the three most common regrets. Being too shy to make a move on a prospective sexual partner.
Yeah, 27%.
Now, if you knew the people who might have been interested in you and might have wanted to be with you but never knew it, now, it could be zero. It could be 10. It could be 20.
There's always someone. There's one chick I can think way back in the day. We were opening a new restaurant. She was part of the wait staff. I'm the kitchen crew. The restaurant was not open yet. We're like 2 or 3 days from opening, but everyone's there to set stuff up and all this. And this girl walked in, and I just thought she was absolutely the most stunning woman I'd ever seen. It's probably the first time in my life in adulthood where, like, my jaw dropped. Just looking at her. Real nice girl. Worked with her for, like, 2 years, all right? I never made a move on her. She's one of the few chicks where I'd get real nervous to talk to her. Typically, I don't have a problem. But with her, I'm just like, I know I have no chance, right? She is gorgeous. She's fun. She's funny. Blah, 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 blah. Worked together for 2 years. Got along well, right? Try not to give it another thought. Bump into her maybe 10 years later. Like, oh, hey, man, haven't seen you in a while. We're catching up. Well, she's now married. But at that point, she tells me, oh, my God, I just thought you were the hottest thing. And, I mean, I was pissed.
Did you tell her that?
Yes. I was like, are you effing serious? And she's like, oh, yeah, I thought you're really cute, really cool. And I'm like, oh, my God, and now you're married and you're telling me this S now. I'm like, man, I would have dropped everything. To hop in bed. Are you kidding me, man? I mean, and she was still stunning. So she's telling me this, and like, you know, part of you is flattered, but I'll be honest with you, man. I would have rather not known.
Yep.
Sir, I swear to God.
Guy said that not being more sexually adventurous when they were young, 23% said that.
Now that I'm old, I'm freaky.
Not being more sexually adventurous when they were single. So
well,
those are the regrets for men. But women are completely different. Losing their virginity to the wrong partner, 24% said that.
I hear that plenty.
Cheating on a present or past partner.
Fair.
23% said, but that did not show up with men.
Right.
There was no.
Oh, no, I'm cool with that, man.
Cheating or present or past partner, regretting that did not show up. Moving too fast, actually, 20%. More women than men even said having sex with an unattractive partner was their top regret.
Now, sleeping with ugly dudes.
Well, if you get married eventually, I mean, we're all going to be
ugly.
You
start getting ugly.
That's why they call it bumping uglies.
But you get ugly together.
Yes. Across the board, men and women were having equal amounts of casual sex, but it was women who felt more remorse over those encounters, according to the study. This was the same in gay, lesbian, bisexual hookups. Women always felt regret more often and more intensely. Our question, looking back, I never should have bumped uglies with blank. 206-803-ROCK.
A woman chimes in here on the text line, pretty much the opposite of everything you just read. It says, I'm a female in my late 40s. I lost my virginity in high school. We're still friends. He's actually somewhat famous, and I see him when he comes to Seattle on tour. I'm incredibly grateful for my unique circumstances of still being friends. Good, man.
Yeah.
You rarely hear that. You know, you might have an ex that you're still friends with or something like that, but typically not the person you lost your virginity to.
Yeah, my first girlfriend wouldn't talk to me in a million years.
If you saw her now?
No.
Really? Now?
I mean, maybe.
All these years? Really?
Exactly, yes.
Wow, I'm trying to think.
And it was just a mutual breakup, and then,
yeah.
And then a couple of months later, she got with a guy. She might have been with him, or been interested in when we were together.
I'm sure she was.
Either way, she ended up marrying that guy, and I'm pretty sure they're still married. But for whatever reason, I just, like, even at a high school reunion one year, she just completely ignored me. I was like, eventually I'll get around in a circle where I can say,
why do you think that?
I
mean, we're talking like 40 years later.
I have no idea.
You really don't know.
I have no idea. Well, she was also there. She was also there with her husband.
I listened to your show. Sure. Miles.
I mean, but look.
Well, she was there with her husband.
But it's not like you say, oh, hey, here's the guy that I had sex with. You don't have to. What? This is mine.
Right,
you
know exactly. I mean?
That's all you have
really
to
had,
say.
Like, a boyfriend or three or four before that guy. So, like, what's
she still what's blows you off.
Oh, and the first guy that she went out with.
Damn.
The first guy that she went out with after me was a bartender buddy that I knew.
Right.
And his name was EJ. And I knew he hooked up with her a few times. I'm like, damn it, EJ, why'd you do that to me? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I see him a few years later, and he's like, Miles! I'm like, oh, dude! You know, so I'm at this point in time, it's water under the bridge.
Right, man.
We're Eskimo brothers. Who cares? Like, we're high-fiving. He's still a bartender. He was, you know, he was doing shots behind the bar with me. We had a blast that night just talking about old friends, old times.
Sure.
Who cares?
She does, Miles.
I know that. Looking back, I never should have bumped uglies with blank. 206-803-ROCK.
Well, we know her answer. Miles Montgomery.
I hate that mother.
God. All the decades have passed.
Hate that mother.
And she just.
I tried staying friends with him, but the more I hung out with him, I just realized.
The less I liked
God
him.
God almighty.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat. And potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of The Men's Room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. Today we're talking about chain restaurants that have the, as they say, the highest quality fish sandwiches.
Highest quality, okay.
Yeah, and this is just fish sandwiches, so this doesn't count like getting a tuna sub at a sub shop.
Yeah, I don't really consider that a fish sandwich, strangely enough.
Somehow tuna fish, even though it is, does not seem to qualify to anyone as seafood. It's just not seafood somehow. And I don't know why that is. It makes no sense. It lives in the same place as all the rest of it, but not seafood.
Yeah, and maybe just because McDonald's was the first one with the fish fillet. But, like, I'm with Miles. Like, if you say fish sandwich, it's either got to be, like, fried, like, it's got to be cooked and on a bun.
It's got to be, in my mind, too, I don't mind a blackened fish sandwich, but I prefer a
breaded,
whether it's fried. Whether it's, you know, bread crumbs or it's done with a beer batter, kind of like, you know, traditional English fish and chip.
Yeah.
That's always a great way to yes, do a fish sandwich.
All right, if I just cook some fish sticks and put them on white bread, does that count as a fish sandwich?
It does not.
I say it does. Are they breaded fish sticks?
I think all fish sticks are breaded.
You know what? That's a good point.
Okay, Ted, how about when you get a fish taco and they do that and they cut the fish strips in little pieces? See, to me, that's not a good fish taco. I'd rather have it not breaded than breaded.
Really?
Yeah, I'm with Miles on this one. Like, a fish taco, I want that fish to be a little bit fresher and, like, blackened or grilled.
Thank you. Yep, that's exactly right.
All right, we'll start with Culver's. Now, most of us don't know Culver's, as it's a Wisconsin-based burger chain, primarily known for its butter burgers and frozen custard.
But I guess they have a fish sandwich, and they say it's they promise that it's never frozen. Especially true for its fish sandwich, according to satisfied customers. The chain's North Atlantic Cod Sandwich features tartar sauce made from lettuce, sprinkled Wisconsin cheddar cheese, and a crispy fillet of breaded, flavorful cod.
Man, I don't know how I feel about cheese on the fish sandwich.
I will tell you this. I'm impressed by the fact that the fish is fresh, and it's not frozen.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they don't receive it frozen and then put it someplace to make it, you know, thawed out. But the idea of having fresh fish on a sandwich, that's kind of impressive.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. And I would also say, too, if you're ever like in a beach town or whatever, especially in a warmer climate, like generally they'll have whatever the local fish there is, like blackened or something as
get
a
it.
Fish sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just get it. Wherever you are, just get it, man. It's good. You're right.
Next on the list, and I mean, this won't shock you, but it's Arby's. First of all, Arby's knocks it out of the park because there it comes on a King Hawaiian roll.
Ooh.
All right.
Already a win.
It's almost like cheating. You know what I mean? It's like being graded on a curve once you put it on a Hawaiian roll. Man, I didn't realize Arby's had a fish sandwich.
My sister brought rolls for Thanksgiving. They were great. They were from the Cheesecake Factory. No complaints. But I didn't miss a good Hawaiian roll.
Yeah.
The King's Hawaiian Fish Deluxe Sandwich includes crunchy fried filet, tartar sauce as its star components, and a sandwich known as the spicy fish sandwich. Very similar, but except you can add fire roasted jalapenos. So yeah, they've got a lot of positive reviews on that one.
Yeah, they've got Arby's actually has three different fish sandwiches. So as far as selection goes, you know, like typically they'll do that on a chicken sandwich,
right,
blue or whatever the deal is. Arby's has the most variety.
Yeah, here's a local one for us. Ivers, the seafood bar.
Nice.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense. Yeah.
They have great fish.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say. The crunchy, breaded, flaky bite is to be found in the chain's panko fish sandwich. And it's a great triumph, as they say here, because people love it. And obviously, the Ivers seafood bar, man, you can go down there all the time. Like, the restaurants are amazing as well, but like, I go down to that seafood bar and just get stuff.
I recommend the one highly that's up by the old North Lake Pizza that's now, whatever it is, Big Mario's. So the Ivers, it's on the water on the north side.
The Salmon House.
But also have the shack on the outside for the sandwiches and the chowder and stuff.
All right, nice. Miles, by the way, thanks for the list. This one will be near and dear to your heart. Hooters.
Hooters?
Really?
They have a fish sandwich?
Though you've probably never heard of the Hooters Big Fish Sandwich until now, it is evidently heaven on a hoagie roll.
Ooh, I had no idea.
Well, if they're putting it on a hoagie roll, that means the fish has to be huge.
Agreed.
Yeah, they say, look, it's either grilled or breaded or battered and fried. Your choice. Finished off with a simple layer of tartar sauce. They say, look, according to the reviews, this simple recipe is what makes it so good.
I believe that.
That sounds like a home run, dude.
Their breading is great.
It is really good, yeah.
Sounds like a BK, you know, original chicken sandwich just with fish. That sounds fantastic.
I had no idea that Hooters.
They used to call that back in the day the whaler, Mike.
The whaler.
Because people ate whale here.
Yeah. Real popular.
I will say, I am partial to the BK Big Fish. I thoroughly enjoy that sandwich.
Hell yeah.
Let's see. Captain D's. D.
Captain D's. They have their moments.
Are you familiar with Captain D's?
Oh, sure.
I'm not.
Yeah, they're out of either Memphis or
Nashville.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they're pretty famous for their chicken and stuff. What makes this one stand out, and they say at first glance, is sheer size. Customers receive not one but two fish fillets on a toasted bun, lettuce, dollop of tartar. And they say it's a gigantic masterpiece, delivers on taste.
That's one of the things I like about getting a fish sandwich at the Pacific Inn in Fremont and Wallingford is they put two big pieces of fish on that sandwich.
Their fish and chips is ridiculous.
Yeah, their sandwich, they just take two of those, mm-hmm. stick it on there. And also like the fact that at the PI, Ted, you know this, it's open face. So as far as the condiments and accoutrements that you want on there, that's your call. If you want pickles, lettuce, onions, tomato, they let you build the sandwich the way you want it.
Which I appreciate.
And they give you some tartar.
Yeah, and until I moved out to Seattle, to the West Coast, I had no idea people were using tartar for just French fries.
Me neither.
That's just not the easy. We'll do vinegar on the East Coast. We don't really. We just tartar's on fish and it ends there.
They do the English version, the malt.
It's still weird even though it's here.
You think so?
It's weird.
I feel like fries you can dip. Look, people dip their fries in Frosties, which I find revolting.
Yes.
But I understand that people like it. And apparently French fries you can just dip in any damn thing you want.
It's the sweet and the salty on that one.
No, I get it, man. It's just, no.
Okay.
Sticking with kind of the theme here, if you could fry stuff good, you probably make a good fish sandwich. Popeye shows up on the list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
God, probably that's got to be great.
And you know it's a Cajun blend or something.
Exactly right. One of the, you know, they're notable for their Cajun flavors associated with New Orleans. They have fried chicken, right? I always like their fried shrimp. And you'll notice, like, a lot of this stuff, like their fish sandwich, all their fried shrimp baskets. Like, I don't know if they have them all year, but for sure, when you get into Lent, right before Easter and after Fat Tuesday, that's when a lot of these sandwiches start out.
Well, that was the whole beginning for the thing with McDonald's. So isn't the whole premise being a Catholic? I mean, you know this. I mean, the whole reason for that. So that kind of started the whole trend just based on religion.
Yeah, exactly. The one guy started it in Ohio, and it was kind of weird they added a fish sandwich. But they were like, oh, it sells. Like, yeah. And look, growing up as a Catholic, like, that's all we ate. It was either that or cheese pizza on Fridays. But the Popeyes one, the fish sandwich is massive, and it's a layer of sliced pickles served together on that brioche bun.
Brioche, that's solid, man. Brioche is solid.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of these, too, and it's nice to see even the fast food chain restaurants. Like, I feel like food's just gotten better that we've expanded, like, what we're using.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and it's been a good thing.
If you guys had your druthers, would you pick the Hawaiian roll or the brioche bun when it came to a fish sandwich?
For a fish sandwich, maybe the brioche bun, just because the Hawaiian roll is a little sweeter.
I'm with you.
I'd have to try it. Like a potato roll's great.
Yeah, potato rolls are solid. Look.
Just don't put anything on two things, ciabatta or a sesame seed bun, other than a Big Mac.
You're a ciabatta hater, Miles. I really don't mind the ciabatta. Now, for a fish sandwich, no. The fish is just going to be too mushy and it's not going to hold up at all. But
I'm not going to apologize for that.
I do like a sesame seed bun, but I do not like ciabatta. Although the thing with the sesame seed bun, I don't know why they put them on because it doesn't add any taste.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's aesthetic.
Yeah, purely.
I think it depends on what you're eating, too. Like, I'm not a huge sesame seed bun guy, but if I'm going to eat, like, pulled pork sandwich, then to me it has to be on a sesame seed bun.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Wendy's makes the list, too. I was going to say the widely celebrated crispy panko fish sandwich with takes of breaded Alaskan pollock, dill tartar sauce, pickles, and the unique addition of a slice of melty American cheese. It's not that unique. They stole it from McDonald's.
I was gonna say, it's American cheese on a fish sandwich. But
they either have cheese or they don't. Like, you would never put cheese on one if you made it at home.
No, never.
So, yeah.
I mean, again, right, the only time I would put, you know, we said there's tuna melts, and then if you have, like, frozen squares of fish at home, and you're going to make a fish sandwich at home. But you're right. That's generally the only time dairy is really going to show up on this list. Again, the Wendy's one, only available in February when you get to that time of year. And you know what, Mike? You're right. What's better, the brioche bun or the Hawaiian bun? When we get into February and Lent, we'll just have to, on this segment, we'll have to try the Arby's one.
Ooh,
and then we'll have to try the Popeyes one.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it seems like something to look forward to.
I already am.
There you go.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. Shout of the Day's coming up. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Connect with The Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live.
Oh, boy. Hello, Eastwood. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Eastwood, are you sober or not sober?
Oh, boy.
Hey, I'm sober right now. Sitting out here outside the library here in Shelton, using the internet, trying to get my free emergency pizza from Domino's.
Okay. All right, Eastwood. All right, our Men's Room poll, you'll never have to do one again. Are you taking dishes, laundry, vacuuming, or cooking? Bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, too. Vacuuming. I don't like to vacuum.
Okay.
You seem like a man who works with his hands all the time. I figured vacuuming would not bother you too much.
No, it doesn't, but I like all the rest, man. I like doing laundry and cooking, and I like the rest, so.
Well, maybe
it's the least of my favorites.
All right, fair enough. All right, here is your question. In Ireland, what is known as, quote, the black stuff? Hint, not basketball.
Oh.
The black stuff, yeah. That's Steve, that's real hill, huh? I don't know. Mushrooms, I don't know. The
Guinness?
Black
Guinness.
Stuff.
Get it. Yeah.
Guinness. Oh, yeah.
That black stuff.
Should have got that.
That black stuff. Okay, my bad.
Sorry for my racist comments. I thought we were going there. You just meant Guinness. Okay. My bad. I apologize.
I'm not trying to be racist. You know, you're just a man like the rest of us. I love you, man. You're one of the best there is.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, right. I got a black family, man. My sister married David Orange. I got black nieces and nephews, and, you know, they're all over the place. One time at work, I showed a picture of my little niece, Zaria, to the black guys, and they go, Phil, you know that she's black? And I go, yeah, well, so what? You know, I mean, this is my niece.
Now, would your black brother-in-law brag about you?
He passed away, but yeah, he loved me. Oh, Dave was a great guy, man. He was
Miles Montgomery Eastwood.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I just became Miles Montgomery for David one moment.
He was head of the gang squad for the Seattle Police Department for 23 years. I think he served for them. Everybody knows David Orange.
David Orange. Orange is, in fact, right. The new black. All right, here is your question.
I got a niece named Shasta Orange.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my mom's name's Shasta. So they named
Shasta Orange.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Of course you do. All right, here's your question. What actor played the role of Dr. Frankenstein in the 1974 movie Young Frankenstein?
Dr. Frankenstein. Mel Brooks?
Is it Christopher Lloyd?
Nope. He was also Willy Wonka.
Oh, Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder,
yeah, I like him.
All right, here's a question. We stay in the Hollywood. Julie Andrews won an Oscar for her role in what Disney movie?
Oh, Julie Andrews, yeah.
I don't know, The Sound of Music.
Now the other one.
Not a terrible go. Was that her in Sound of Music,
yep.
too?
Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Which sounds like a female rap artist. I'm sorry. It just does.
Well, there's
her first single is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah. Well, adult star, Cherry Poppins.
Miles.
Yes. She is a real adult star. That is a real star. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Although the name's only true once. All right. It's like not anymore. All right, your question. Whose likeness is depicted on the Purple Heart Award?
Barney.
A Purple Heart. Whose likeness?
All I got is grimace.
Yeah, it's a profile of this particular individual.
Andrew Jackson.
Jorge Washington. George Washington.
Question
George
five.
Washington, huh? That sucks.
Yeah, fairly popular dude.
I've never seen one.
I mean, I've seen it on TV. I've never seen one
in person.
No.
There's a giant one in Edenclaw.
Is there?
There is.
For real?
Yeah, there's just a big... it's a Purple Heart monument that's just... It's got this... it's hard to describe it. Kind of like how the Lincoln Memorial, how it's kind of like a sunken-in building with all these pillars, right? It's a smaller version of that, but then it's just got a big old Purple Heart medal in it.
Is there any reason behind that? Or are they just honoring the Purple Heart?
I haven't walked up on the thing to know, to be honest with you.
Really? You never just
they
read whatever
the
inscription?
Like, hey, look, the Purple Heart. Like, I haven't actually walked up to it, no.
Okay. All right, Eastwood.
Mike, I've been to it.
Have you been to it, Ted?
I have. I mean, excuse me. Yes, my father ended up getting a Purple Heart, so when I would spend time down there back in the day, I was like, oh, let's go check that out.
What year did your dad get a Purple Heart?
Oh, man, that was a massive issue, Thrill. So
uh-oh.
He got injured in 69. I don't think he finally got it until, late 90s.
Oh, really? And I'm guessing he had a lot to say about that.
Oh, you know he did.
Well, I'm glad he finally got it.
Was that in Vietnam, Ted? Was that in Vietnam?
Correct, Eastwood. He did a combat tour in 69. And then, no jokes. And then, right where he got injured, technically our troops weren't supposed to be there. So that was the
whole
time.
Right. We can't give you the Purple Heart because if we gave you the Purple Heart, we have to tell the American public that you were someplace that we quote unquote never were.
Correct.
Damn.
Yeah, the support forces used to lock the ammunition up on those guys. It's sad. Yeah, I graduated in 72. I was number 326 in the lottery, and they drafted the top 1/3. I didn't have to go, thank God.
And here you are now, gracing our airwaves.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Eastwood, here's your question.
Serious ways.
Who celebrates their 111th birthday in The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring? Yes, Mike, I knew you would know the answer instantly. Yeah.
I don't know. Boba Fett. I don't know. The Lord of the Rings.
Boba Fett. Very close. Bilbo Fett. No, Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy Sweat. Which actor played James Bond in the movie Diamonds Are Forever?
Well, isn't that Sean Connery?
Bingo.
It was, in fact, Sean Connery.
Nice job.
Well done.
Gave us Big W 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Adam, you on Team Sober or Team Not Sober?
Team Sober.
All right, Adam, welcome to Big W. Okay, what chore will you never do again? Dishes, laundry, vacuuming, or cooking?
Oh, laundry.
Laundry.
Yeah, people have no problem with that one. By the way, Mike, apparently the Purple Heart in Enum Claw is part of the Korean War Memorial.
Oh.
And Enum Claw is known as the Purple Heart City, which is why they have the big monument.
Okay.
Did you know that your hometown was known as the Purple Heart?
I did not, but that explains some things.
Right. It's all coming together now. 3 decades of life. And it's like, yeah, it makes sense.
Moved out after two.
All right. Here is your question. We were just talking about Sean Connery. What was Sean Connery's final movie? Slammed so badly by critics that he quit acting.
That was the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Damn. I liked that movie.
Of course you did.
It was a bad movie.
I did too.
I was a little bit younger when I watched it, but there was a lot of really cool characters in that movie.
I think the premise was cool. The idea of the characters was great. The execution of the movie.
What was wrong with the execution of the movie? It was they a stupid, made it. Almost comic. It was a literary movie is all it was.
It was terrible.
Oh.
All right, Adam. Here is your one and done 50-50 question. Celebrities who were homecoming queen or king. Which one was a homecoming queen? Faith Hill or Shania Twain?
Shania Twain.
Faith Hill.
That makes sense.
Connect with the guys. Find the men's room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the men's room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and not to be somber, but I believe this is definitely worth our time to do today. Today, we want to toast 70-year-old Steve Poole, who most of you probably remember for being on Como since 1977, technically. Here's the thing about him. He passed on November 21st from early onset of Alzheimer's. I guess it is something he'd been battling privacy, but like a lot of people, it's not something you're trying to make public. But as far as being a broadcaster, I like this. So he was an intern, 1974, okay? He goes to Como as an intern. He's still at UW. He gets hired full-time 3 years later, as soon as he graduates from UW. And believe it or not, I was not here in Seattle for this. Before he covered weather, he covered sports and hard news. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's an all-around reporter. And then he became the chief weather forecaster in 84. So not a meteorologist, but the chief weather forecaster back in 1984. And obviously, that is the gig that most of us knew and loved him from. I don't know if you knew this. How many times do you think he got called up to Good Morning America to fill in? Right? Because, look, if you're in broadcast,
that's a big deal.
If you're doing TV news broadcast, and Good Morning America is going to call your ass to say, hey, fill in, that is a huge, huge deal. 70 times.
70?
70.
Nice.
70 times my man got to fill in on Good Morning America. He retired here in 2019 after 42 years on the air. And we actually had the advantage to meet him one time. And I will tell you this, because I kind of made fun of him when I met him. Because when you saw him on TV, you know, he was just this real head. It's like the Black Bob Ross. You know, here comes the weather guy. This is what it's going to be. So we met him at Hard Rock Cafe. And we're like, oh, man, Steve Poole. Dude, like, what is up, baby? He was like the coolest dude.
The coolest guy in the room.
Anywhere. Hands down, man. And you never would have guessed it. And then as you start talking to other people that work locally, both on the air, people that worked in local bars, restaurants, like he and his buddies were always the life of the party. When they showed up, man, like a good time was coming, man. So, yeah, he passed November 21st. Just want to pay our respects to a fellow broadcaster who did a bang-up job, man.
Yeah. Everybody in this city I've ever talked to that, like, had interaction, everybody's like, man, Steve Poole was the man, and he was such a nice dude.
He was super nice, super cool. I mean, seriously, Miles was right. He was, like, the coolest guy in the room. You wouldn't have known it for how he did the weather. But, man, if you're out with him, it's like, this is the guy whose table you want to sit at.
He actually calmed you down by watching him.
He understood what he was doing. And he's like, man, I'm doing TV. You know, and the weather here, let's face it, it can be severe. It's crazy, unpredictable. I think we'd all agree on that. So he's like, it's important to be a soothing voice when you're explaining to people that, hey, the wind's going to pick up to 75 tomorrow. It's going to rain for the next 127 days. But yeah, when he was off air, man, it was, what is up? Three-part handshake. I'm like, this guy is the man.
Enjoyed a beer?
Yeah. Yes, he did, man. He was a cool dude. So, Steve Poole, man, wish you well on the other side, brother. But in the meantime, we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch hola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Connect with the Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live.
Oh, boy. Hello, Eastwood. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Eastwood, are you sober or not sober?
Oh, boy.
Hey, I'm sober right now. Sitting out here outside the library here in Shelton using the internet, trying to get my free emergency pizza from Domino's.
Okay. All right, Eastwood. All right, our men's room poll. You'll never have to do one again. Are you taking dishes, laundry, vacuuming, or cooking? Bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, too. Vacuuming. I don't like to vacuum.
Okay.
You seem like a man who works with his hands all the time. I figured vacuuming would not bother you too much.
No, it doesn't, but I like all the rest, man. I like doing laundry and cooking, and I like the rest, so.
Well, maybe
it's the least of my favorites.
All right, fair enough. All right, here is your question. In Ireland, what is known as, quote, the black stuff? Hint, not basketball.
Oh, the black stuff, yeah. That's Steve, that's real hell, huh? I don't know. Mushrooms, I don't know. The
Guinness?
Black stuff.
Guinness.
Oil.
Yeah.
Guinness. Oh, yeah.
That black stuff.
Should have got that.
That black stuff. Okay, my bad. Yeah, sorry for my racist comments. I thought we were going there. You just meant Guinness. Okay. My bad. I apologize.
I'm not trying to be racist. You know, you're just a man like the rest of us. I love you, man. You're one of the best there is.
Thank you, man.
Right. I got a black family, man. My sister married David Orange. I got black nieces and nephews, and, you know, they're all over the place. One time at work, I was showing a picture of my little niece, Zaria, to the black guys, and they go, Phil, you know that she's black? And I go, yeah. Well, so what? You know, I mean, this is my niece.
Now, would your black brother-in-law brag about you?
He passed away, but yeah, he loved me. Oh, Dave was a great guy, man. He was
Miles Montgomery Eastwood.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I just became Miles Montgomery for
David
one moment.
He was head of the gang squad for the Seattle Police Department for 23 years. I think he served for them. Everybody knows David Orange.
David Orange. Orange is, in fact, right. The new black. All right, here is your question.
I got a niece named Shasta Orange.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my mom's name's Shasta. So they
Shasta
named
Orange.
Shasta. Yeah.
Wow. All right, of course you do. All right, here's your question. What actor played the role of Dr. Frankenstein in the 1974 movie Young Frankenstein?
Dr. Frankenstein. Mel Brooks?
Is it Christopher Lloyd?
Nope. He was also Willy Wonka.
Oh, Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, yeah. I like him.
All right, here's a question. We stay in the Hollywood. Julie Andrews won an Oscar for her role in what Disney movie?
Oh, Julie Andrews, yeah. I don't know. The Sound of Music.
No, the other one.
Not a terrible go. Was that her in Sound of Music,
yep.
too?
Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Which sounds like a female rap artist. I'm sorry. It just does.
Well, there's
her first single is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah. Well, adult star, Cherry Poppins.
Miles.
Yes. She is a real adult star. That is a real star. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Although the name's only true once. All right. It's like not anymore. All right, your question. Whose likeness is depicted on the Purple Heart Award?
Barney.
The Purple Heart. Mm-hmm. Whose likeness?
All that, and all I got is Grimace.
Yeah, it's a profile of this particular individual.
Andrew Jackson.
Jorge.
Jorge Washington. George Washington.
Question five.
George Washington, huh? That sucks.
Yeah, fairly popular dude.
I've never seen one.
I mean, I've seen it on TV. I've never seen one
in person.
No.
There's a giant one in Enumclaw.
Is there?
There is.
For real?
Yeah, there's just a big... it's a Purple Heart monument that's just, it's got this, it's hard to describe it. Kind of like how the Lincoln Memorial, how it's kind of like a sunken in building with all these pillars, right? It's a smaller version of that, but then it's just got a big old Purple Heart medal in it.
Is there any reason behind that? Or are they just honoring the Purple
Heart? I haven't walked
up
on the thing to know, to be honest with you.
Really? You never just read whatever
the
inscription?
Like, hey, look, the Purple Heart. Like, I haven't actually walked up to it, no.
Okay. All right, so
Mike, I've been to it.
Have you been to it, Ted?
I have. I mean, excuse me. Yes, my father ended up getting a Purple Heart, so when I would spend time down there back in the day, I was like, oh, let's go check that out.
What year did your dad get a Purple Heart?
Oh, man, that was a massive issue, Thrill. So
uh-oh.
He got injured in 69. I don't think he finally got it until, late 90s.
Oh, really? And I'm guessing he had a lot to say about that.
Oh, you know he did.
Well, I'm glad he finally got it.
Was that in Vietnam, Ted? Was that in Vietnam?
Correct. Correct, Eastwood. He did a combat tour in 69. And then, no jokes. And then, right where he got injured, technically our troops weren't supposed to be there. So that was the
whole
time.
Right. We can't give you the Purple Heart, because if we gave you the Purple Heart, we have to tell the American public that you were someplace that we, quote unquote, never were.
Correct.
Damn.
Yeah, the support forces used to lock the ammunition up on those guys. It's sad. Yeah, I graduated in 72. I was number 326 in the lottery, and they drafted the top 1/3. I didn't have to go, thank God.
And here you are now, gracing our airwaves.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Eastwood, here's your question.
Serious ways.
Who celebrates their 111th birthday in The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring? Yes, Mike, I knew you'd know the answer instantly. Yeah.
I don't know. Boba Fett. I don't know. The Lord of the Rings.
Boba Fett. Very close. Bilbo Fett. No, Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins.
Mm-hmm. Artie Sweat. Which actor played James Bond in the movie Diamonds Are Forever?
Well, isn't that Sean Connery?
Bingo.
It was, in fact,
Sean Connery.
Nice job.
Well done.
Gave us Big W 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Adam, you on team sober or team not sober?
Team sober.
All right, Adam, welcome to Big Dummy. Okay, what chore will you never do again? Dishes, laundry, vacuuming, or cooking?
Oh, laundry.
Laundry.
Yeah, people have no problem with that one. By the way, Mike, apparently the Purple Heart in Enumclaw is part of the Korean War Memorial. And Enumclaw is known as the Purple Heart City, which is why they have the big monument.
Okay.
Did you know that your hometown was known as the Purple Heart?
I did not, but that explains some things.
Right. It's all coming together now. 3 decades of life. And it's like, that makes sense.
Moved out after 2.
All right. Here is your question. We were just talking about Sean Connery. What was Sean Connery's final movie? Slammed so badly by critics that he quit acting.
That was the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Damn. I liked that movie.
Of course you did.
It was a bad movie.
I was a little bit younger when I watched it, but there was a lot of really cool characters in that movie.
I think the premise was cool. The idea of the characters was great. The execution of the movie.
What was wrong with the execution of the movie? It was they a stupid, made it. Almost comic. It was a literary movie is all it was.
It was terrible.
Oh.
All right, Adam. Here's your one and done 50-50 question. Celebrities who were homecoming queen or king. Which one was a homecoming queen? Faith Hill or Shania Twain?
Shania Twain.
Faith Hill.
That makes sense.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, if we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and not to be somber, but I believe this is definitely worth our time to do today. Today, we want to toast 70-year-old Steve Poole, who most of you probably remember for being on Como since 1977, technically. Here's the thing about him. He passed on November 21st from early onset of Alzheimer's. I guess it is something he'd been battling privacy, but like a lot of people, it's not something you're trying to make public. But as far as being a broadcaster, I like this. So he was an intern, 1974, okay? He goes to Como as an intern. He's still at UW. He gets hired full-time 3 years later as soon as he graduates from UW. And believe it or not, I was not here in Seattle for this. Before he covered weather, he covered sports and hard news. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's an all-around reporter. And then he became the chief weather forecaster in 84. So not a meteorologist, but the chief weather forecaster back in 1984. And obviously, that is the gig that most of us knew and loved him from. I don't know if you knew this. How many times do you think he got called up to Good Morning America to fill in? Right? Because, look, if you're in broadcast,
it's a big deal.
If you're doing TV news broadcast, and Good Morning America is going to call your ass to say, hey, fill in, that is a huge, huge deal. 70 times.
70?
7-0.
Nice.
70 times my man got to fill in on Good Morning America. He retired here in 2019 after 42 years on the air, and we actually had the advantage to meet him one time, and I will tell you this, because I kind of made fun of him when I met him. Because when you saw him on TV, you know, he was just this real head. It's like the Black Bob Ross. You know, here comes the weather guy. This is what it's going to be. So we met him at Hard Rock Cafe. And we're like, oh, man, Steve Poole. Dude, what is up, baby? He was like the coolest dude.
The coolest guy in the room.
Anywhere. Hands down, man. And you never would have guessed it. And then as you start talking to other people that work locally, both on the air, people that worked in local bars, restaurants, like he and his buddies were always the life of the party. When they showed up, man, like a good time was coming, man. So, yeah, he passed November 21st. Just want to pay our respects to a fellow broadcaster who did a bang-up job, man.
Yeah. Everybody in this city I've ever talked to that, like, had interaction, everybody's like, man, Steve Poole was the man, and he was such a nice dude.
He was super nice, super cool. I mean, seriously, Miles was right. He was, like, the coolest guy in the room. You wouldn't have known it for how he did the weather. But, man, if you're out with him, it's like, this is the guy whose table you want to sit at.
He actually calmed you down by watching him.
He understood what he was doing. And he's like, man, I'm doing TV. You know, and the weather here, let's face it, it can be severe. It's crazy, unpredictable. I think we'd all agree on that. So he's like, it's important to be a soothing voice when you're explaining to people that, hey, the wind's going to pick up to 75 tomorrow. It's going to rain for the next 127 days. But yeah, when he was off air, man, it was, what is up? The three-part handshake. I'm like, this guy is the man.
Enjoyed a beer?
Yeah. Yes, he did, man. He was a cool dude. So, Steve Poole, man, wish you well on the other side, brother. But in the meantime, we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So, over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Aw, man!
A Double Flush production.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.